official rigmarole update. But on behalf of the Audit Committee, I move that the Audits and Investigations Committee certify to the best of each member's knowledge, and with no individual member dissenting, that the just-concluded executive session of the Audits and Investigations Committee of this morning, November 19, 2015, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under the bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the committee.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Corcoran. Now we'll begin the meeting of the Safety and Security Committee today, November 19, 2015, as is our usual custom and practice. I'd like to first turn the floor over to the Acting Chief Safety Officer, Mr. Lou Brown, for today's safety contact message.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman and board members. So first of all, exits and emergency. In the event of a fire alarm, please exit through either the two exits behind me or the entrance to the lobby that you came through. We will cross the street and go over to the building museum and corral there. Make sure you cross safely in a crosswalk. In the event someone needs an AED, there's one out by the guard station, and the restrooms are just past the guard station. Safety contact for today, hydroplaning. Probably appropriate. The rain today is a reminder to drive safely. When a car hydroplanes, the most important things to remember are not to panic, do not brake, or accelerate suddenly. If you begin to hydroplane, you look for open space and plan to travel in that direction. Stay gentle on the accelerator and steer gently towards the open space. It's also important not to have cruise control engaged in heavy rain due to sudden acceleration problem. The vehicle will slow down as it encounters a buildup of water. This may cause the car to accelerate and build even more speed, which will increase the hydroplaning effect. You can avoid hydroplaning by slowing down. Also, make sure your tires have the proper amount of tread so they will always be able to displace water. An easy way to check your tread is to place a penny upside down in your hand. With Lincoln's head is hidden, your tread is thick enough. If Lincoln's head is totally exposed, your tread is too thin and you need new tires. When it comes to speed on wet roads, please slow down and be prepared so you can safely make it to your destination. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Clearly, you don't remember the days of Indian head pennies. All right, first issue of the agenda is approval of our agenda. I'll
so move.
For motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor of the agenda?
Aye.
And now, second issue would be approval of the minutes from our October 22nd, 2015 meeting.
Second.
Second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah. It's adopted. Very good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, this morning's agenda is fairly brief. The topics we will cover are of vital importance. First, our Chief Safety Officer, Mr. Brown, will provide us with an overview of last quarter's safety statistics and, more importantly, on the actions that Metro has taken to improve them. Next, Mr. Brown will update the committee on the transition of Metro safety oversight to the Federal Transit Administration. And finally, Chief Pavlik will provide us with a briefing on security measures that are being taken following the Paris terrorist attacks of last Friday. Mr. Brown.
Yes, Chairman Goldman, thank you. And actually, with your permission, I'm going to flip-flop those two and cover the FTA piece first and then the quarterly to be in line with the way the slides are stacked up in
sure,
the deck.
That's fine.
So first up is the update on the Federal Transit Administration oversight. We've had numerous meetings with the FTA, including an all-day meeting yesterday on the 91 corrective actions, the SMI corrective actions. I'm happy to say WMATA has delivered over 100 of the items that have been requested so far. As you can well imagine, these 91 corrective actions have a multitude of deliverables under each one, so it's in the order of hundreds. But I'm happy to say that we've exceeded 100 and met all the target dates or exceeded those to date. We're working very collaboratively with the FTA. We had an all-day meeting yesterday, went through a number of the deliverables. I think we're on the same page with the FTA. They seem pleased with our progress. And along those lines, actually, at the bottom of your screen, and we can get that out to you, is an FTA website that went live, I believe, on Tuesday evening that FTA has, where they're tracking the 91 corrective actions. Along those lines with the transition.
The website site for that, the hyperlink for that?
It's on the bottom of the screen, but we can send it to the board members separately. I'll get with Jennifer. It was a late addition. They had only just given it to us on Tuesday. Tri-State Oversight Committee is still involved. We're migrating over to FTA for accidents and incidents and the corrective actions. The corrective action reconciliation between the previous TOC corrective actions and the adoption of FTA is still an ongoing process. We're expecting a list from the FTA this evening, close of business today, with a conference call scheduled next Tuesday. And I'm hoping that by the first week in December, we're going to have a reconciled list between what was formerly a TOC corrective action and what will now be a new sanctioned FTA corrective action, and WMATA will be on the same page with the FTA in that list. Okay, if I could have the next slide, please. An update on the derailment investigation. This is a timeline of the progress. So we had the incident occurred on August 6th. September 3rd, Mr. Troop and his organization provided a technical report. September 30th, NTSB issued an urgent recommendation to USDOT to transfer the oversight from FTA to FRA. On October 9th, the Secretary of Transportation responded back to the NTSB, stating that they preferred to keep the oversight with FTA, and at that time, and to assume it from the Tri-State Oversight Committee. At that time, I'm jumping ahead, actually on October 2nd, WMATA submitted its report of the derailment investigation to what was then the TOC, because the October 9th hadn't happened yet. In that process, then, after October 9th, on October 14th, we forwarded our report to the Federal Transit Administration. As you well know, we cannot make that report public until we receive approval from our oversight entity, and we've asked FTA when they think that may be. They have not only their internal staff, but some contractors reviewing that report in great detail, and at this time could not give me an estimated date when they will finish their review of the report.
Now, Mr. Brown, what is exactly the reason why we can't make the report public at this time?
So we have a memorandum of understanding, which was with the Tri-State Oversight Committee, and agreements with the FTA that our oversight entity gets to review those reports in detail before we're permitted to make those public. That's been in practice for a number of years.
And so that's our agreement with the TOC.
Correct.
And the assumption is that the FTA has taken over that obligation of the TOC?
It's more than an assumption, because we've actually asked that question of the FTA, and the FTA has come down very strongly that they will still follow that same process.
And they've said that we can't release the report until they complete their review of it?
That's correct.
Thank you. I hope you'll indicate to them that as a public body, we'd like to get that report out there from an August derailment, and a report that was completed by us on October 2nd, I think board members and the public are entitled to see the results of that.
I fully agree. I've actually made myself a pest, I guess, with the FTA in asking when they think they will be releasing that.
I'm sure this committee would encourage you to continue being a pest.
Okay.
Thank you.
Happy to do that. Next up is an update on the safety management system. Several of us here at WMATA attended a class with the FTA's new training piece of safety management systems. It was held here the 4th through the 6th of November. It was an excellent class. It's the direction under MAP 21 that the FTA is moving with state safety oversight. It shifts the process of eliminating all risks to managing risks. This is sort of a different philosophy, and it looks at the idea that the ownership of safety risks are with the individual departments, and that safety is in lockstep with those departments, and we fully embrace that. It was an excellent class. In fact, they mentioned that they offer a two-hour executive session, and I've actually had some private conversations with some of the board members, and I've heard some interest. So I'm working actually now with FTA to set up a schedule, probably not until after the first of the year, given the holidays, but a two-hour session to get board members up to speed on what is entailed with MAP 21 and the FTA safety management systems. Okay, now we'll shift gears and move into the actual quarterly report. Employee injury rate. So our employee injury rate is 5.15 for the third quarter per 200,000 hours worked, equivalent to 100 employees working 1 year. It's an 18% increase over the third quarter of calendar year 2014, which was 4.08, and a 2% increase over the calendar year rate of 5.06. I think a question had come up before, how much are those numbers driven, and I'll have the same answer for the customer service injuries, how much are those numbers driven by the January 12th event? Actually, under the employee injury rate, it doesn't drive the number that greatly. If you backed out the January 12th event, we would still be at 5.03 for the year if January had been a normal month like all the other months. The driving forces for those numbers are the slips, trips, and falls at 18%, collisions at 17%, and I want to talk a little bit about the stress injuries at 14%. The stress injuries are coming from crime and also a very active employee assistance program. So that's sort of the good news, bad news story. I think it's great news working with HR that we have and our medical people. We have a very active employee assistance program, so when people experience these events, that they get the help that they need. Unfortunately, it does drive the numbers up because it becomes a reportable incident. I think our thinking is that these aren't necessarily new kind of injuries. They just now are getting reported where they weren't being reported before. So the metric is making it look like stress injuries are getting worse over time. We are actively working with the departments. For example, we had a stand down with Track and Structures yesterday, which included FTA and the union, and over 200 employees attended the two nights of safety stand down. Moving to the next slide, to actually drill down some more, as you can see that the top injuries are coming from rail transportation, bus transportation, and MTPD. But before I focus on those, I like to focus on the positive, which is showing the other departments that are all reduction in injuries from the previous period. What I'd like to say is I believe that's the proof is in the pudding of the training that's gone on, the proactive job hazard analyses that safety has been involved in, the toolbox talks that are occurring, and for some of the heavy lifting areas like bus maintenance and those kinds of things, the heavy overhaul shops, we have the body mechanics class. And I think those things and being proactive with an aggressive approach and making sure that the incidents are properly documented and fully investigated and that information is then fed back, it drives the numbers down. So I think that's focusing on those departments that are taking that most aggressively, I think that's a good news story. That's a little bit more of a challenge when you come to transportation because they're not doing so much body mechanics, heavy lifting, those kinds of things. But we are working with those departments. Some of the things that are, as I had mentioned before, the stress-related, the arrests, the assaults are driving the numbers. We're working in partnership with MTPD to see what we can do with those, with things like bus shields for operators. The exposure number that's there is actually from the LaFont incident. The four exposures ones are smoke related. Okay, moving on to the next slide, which is customer injury rate. Good news is that the customer injury rate for the third quarter was 1.65 customer injuries per 1 million passenger trips, which is below the target of 1.8. The rate is lower than both the second quarter of 2015, which was 1.97, and the third quarter of 2014, which was 2.05. I did ask our folks to what if you backed out the January 12th incident, which included 70 customer injuries, we actually would be, if we didn't have January 12th, we would be at 1.85 without LaFont. So we'd actually be a reduction in numbers from where we were this time last year. So overall, I would say, if we could have the next slide, that it's good news. We're trending downward. There's a decrease in collision-related injuries in the third quarter for bus, of which 91% were a result of non-preventable collisions where WMATA is deemed not at fault. The Metro Rail CIR is 1.08, which is well below our target level. Past quarter escalator injuries have decreased 18%. Leading factors causing escalator injuries are passenger inattention, passenger intoxication, and passengers running on escalators. Rail facility injuries have decreased 12% when compared to the same period last year. And I guess what I would like to stress is that we are working with customer service to see what we can do to change customer behavior. There was a successful pilot that was done with holding signs up, things like saying, you know, slow down, walk, don't run, as slippery when wet, those kinds of things. Just an aside anecdotal, I was had the pleasure of being at some meet and greets with some board members, Chairman Downey, Mr. Dormsjoe, Member Hutchins, and I think we observed in particular, well, I won't name the station, but people are in a hurry when they're coming out of the train stations. We stood there at the fare gates to try to meet and greet and stick our hand out and say, we have board members here to chat with you. And sometimes people just blurred by you and acted like you didn't even exist. I'd say a third of the people are in a great hurry. And I understand the nature of things, especially families that have young children and they may be in childcare. And if you don't get there by a certain time, you're going to pay a great penalty. So, I mean, there's understandable explanations why people are in a hurry, but we're going to be partnering with Lynn Bowersox and her folks in customer service and safety to see what we can do to drive down those numbers of customers. Say, take your time. It's not worth getting injured. And lastly, I would like to just call to attention the Metro Awards ceremony. It was a very successful ceremony with Gary Clark, the former receiver for Washington Redskins, was the chair. We had Mr. Dormsjoe, Chairman Downey also attended. I'd like to recognize those employees that were honored during the awards ceremony. It was the first year that we combined both the safety and customer service awards, and I believe it was everybody that attended would say it was a great success. They're still recognizing we have more to do, but we also have many employees who perform their jobs safely and provide excellent customer service on a daily basis, day in and day out, and they are our true champions of safety and customer service. I'll take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Bolger has a question, I believe.
Well, thank you for the report, Mr. Brown. Going back to the bus area on operator assaults, can you tell us or someone tell us how the bus shield installation process is going and whether or not all of the bus operators want a shield or don't want a shield? Because I've asked bus operators pro or con on that issue, and you get different results.
Yes.
And I suspect certain places in the system, you know, require more attention because there's more assaults, but maybe even the chief might want to help us with the bus shield installation issue.
Yeah, I'll defer to the chief, but the only thing I will mention is that all new buses are being ordered with the shield, so in just a matter of time, and we will have the shields in all buses. Chief, maybe if you want to comment.
Yeah, good morning. The one thing, you know, I've attended several town hall meetings with the bus operators, and it's a mixed emotions. Some want the shield, some don't. Some want the flexibility or discretion to do it. We did a soft rollout in August, and we're continuing to do that. I think there's close to 300 buses that currently have them, and they are being deployed each and every day that they are in service. But it is mixed emotions. Some want it, some don't want it. Some want the flexibility of or discretion thereof to use it. As far as the numbers go, we've had 74 bus operator assaults year to date. The only other class of employee that's been assaulted more, obviously, is the police department. We've had 80 police officers assaulted already this year. After those two groups of employees, there is no other group of employee that's even in the double digits. So it's something we're continuing to do, you know, doing our deployment really carefully. The X2 technology we're doing with the new cameras and obviously the bus shield, but it's a layered approach. It's not one, okay, one stop all fix all. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown, I wanted to ask you a question on the customer injury rates. It's a slide two further into the the other way. Next one. I don't know. It's one that says statistical review, customer injury rate per million trips. There we go.
Okay.
Stop. When I looked at this chart, what I noticed is that the customer injury rates for Metro Access are much higher by a factor of 10 times higher than they are for bus or rail. And so the two questions, I would just want to first make sure that the denominator is the same, that those numbers are based on per million trips, which you're shaking your head yes,
yes
to confirming. The question is, why? Why is the accident rate so much higher for our customers on Metro Access than on bus or rail?
So I guess the simple answer, and not being a statistician, but the denominator, we're moving 7,000 people per day versus, you know, hundreds of thousands of people per day. So when you're dividing with that kind of a rate, each incident makes the rate, you know, substantially higher. That being said, I think we've gone round and round with Metro Access on, is that fair to use the same metric, the same ratio? And we've settled on the fact that, yes, you know, we want to have a level playing field, recognizing that the type of clientele that are transported in Metro Access tend to be more fragile than your normal customer that rides a rail or a bus. And also, another piece of that is that we're doing door-to-door. So not only are we capturing the piece of the person in the vehicle, but also injuries as they're approaching the vehicle or boarding. So I think it's highly explainable. It's not preferable. But given the alternative for these folks that would not otherwise have a means of getting from point A to point B to their doctor appointment or shopping and things like that, I think we're working closely with Metro Access, but doing the best we can to drive the numbers down. Some of those are non-preventable. Some of those are rear-end collisions, and we're working with Metro Access to figure out, is there a better way to berth the vehicle, so to speak, such that they don't get rear-ended while they're, you know, trying to offload someone or alight.
Is there any statistical breakdown that we have of the nature of the injuries with rear-end as opposed to...
For Metro Access,
Metro
yes.
Metro Access, slips yes. and falls?
I believe that's in the appendix in your package, but we can get, you know, call those out for you, sir.
If you could do that, appreciate
sure.
it. Thank you. And other members of the committee, Mr. Downey? Yeah.
Could you back up two slides? I just had one question. Yes. Up the bottom line, complete safety incorporation. What's the definition of that?
Okay, so we are realigning the safety. I'm sorry, it took me a second to realize what we had put there. We're realigning the safety department. We're actually putting more focus on the areas that are having the greatest number of injuries, and we're beefing up, in particular, the rail safety area to address some of the types of injuries that we're seeing.
And your staff are going to be dedicated to particular parts of the organization?
Correct.
Yes.
Other questions from members of the committee? Not? Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank
Chief you. Pavlik.
Certainly, good morning,
sir.
Busy
for a few days, I assume.
Yes, yeah, so I just want to say, you know, we're nearly 1 week into the tragic events that occurred last Friday in Paris, and within minutes of the attack, and since then, I've had either daily conference calls or face-to-face meetings with our local, state, and federal partners. One thing I want to just reiterate, there is no credible threat still here at Wilmot or towards Metro, but it's something we're doing out of abundance of caution. That information and the intelligence coming out of Paris is still very fluid. Obviously, from a prosecutorial standpoint in Paris, they're only going to release so much information to our federal partners here in the United States. And that information is just, it's coming in every day. We had a high-level briefing yesterday with the FBI over at their headquarters where a lot of information was shared. But again, the big takeaway there's no credible threat to us right now. We are going to continue to do a high-visibility patrolish officers out in the system, both on our bus and rail side. We're going to continue with our random explosive bag screening on a much higher level, much frequency level, and just really keep our ear to the ground there and see what's going on. I'm assured by our federal partners, if and when things happen, they call me very quickly. I am blessed with a security clearance that allows me to hear and see certain things, and that information is flowing. I can't say enough positive things about our federal partners and what they're doing for us and our system. As I say, as those things change over the next 48 hours, 72 hours, that more information will be released and intelligence will be shared, and then obviously we'll make adjustments as needed. But the big takeaway for our riders and for this board to know is there is no credible threat right now. The steps that we're taking are strictly out of abundance of caution. TSA has been instrumental in doing their partnership as well. They've used their Viper teams in our system alongside transit police officers doing some random explosive bag screening, sharing stuff every day. We have a conference call with the top 20 transit chiefs in the United States, and we're going over what every other transit property is doing, steps they are taking to safeguard their respective property. And it's really great, the information sharing. It's probably the best I've ever seen it. And it's unfortunate that tragic event like this sometimes sparks that, but in the reality, it's making, you know, all of our transit properties safer, that's for sure. So if there's any specific questions, I'd be glad to take them.
Any questions from members of the committee?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to commend the chief. His ear is to the ground. His staff is working hard. They're very vigilant. We've discussed on a number of times over the last week of the next steps that we would take if we had to further increase the activities with our police force. And I think our customers are seeing a great deal of visibility of our troops. And I just really appreciate the chief's effort to keeping on this with all the calls and the information flowing and making sure that we're as prepared as possible for any event. So thank you, Chief.
Ms. Dragoni?
Thank you, Chairman Goldman. I also just wanted to commend the chief. Certainly, I know all of us and our riders are much reassured by the visible presence of the transit police throughout the system. I know I was able to report a suspicious package on Monday and have, you know, be able to report it personally, have the transit policeman go immediately down the escalator to investigate, and it was very reassuring. Several of us were, board members were at at the Wheaton metro station, and I have to say the presence of so many folks was a visible deterrent to some would-be fare evasion as well, that we got to sort of witness what didn't happen as people milled around seeing if they could jump the fare gate right in front of us or whether we would be willing to chase them down. So they eventually it was a visible deterrence at work, which it was a pleasure to see. Thank you.
Chief, in addition, while you were busy with preparations in light of the Paris assault this week, you also found time to apprehend someone who had assaulted a bus operator?
We did. You know, and that's really thanks to the technology that you and we've invested as an organization on our buses. The CCTV, I can't say enough about them. They're doing good things for us. But that particular assault occurred on a P route there on North Capitol Street. Clearly on video, we went to our media and our partners out there and asked for help. And sure enough, he's been identified, and he was arrested late last night. So he has been arrested.
Very good. Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Dojo?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief, I just wondered if you could consider what ways the board could help you in the future. I don't have to provide an answer here, but I just want to encourage you to identify any gaps budgetarily or technically that you may need going forward. I believe it's the responsibility of this board to provide for every reasonable safety and security initiative and programmatic need. And so if over time, as we identify any needs through consultation with other law enforcement and intelligence agencies, or you glean some opportunities from conversation possibly with European counterparts, if there's a need for training, technical assistance, security audits, other things that are going to cost money, certainly don't hesitate to think through what those needs might be and make this board do its job in supporting you in any way possible. So I know it's fresh and there won't be any specific items at this point in time, but going forward, I just want you to know that the board is here to support you in your mission.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Other comments, Mr. Bolger?
Yeah, wanted to second Leif's suggestion there. It's a good one. I want to thank the chief and his staff for being with me and other staff at Congress Heights this past week, where we saw, and I need to talk to you, Leif, saw the chief almost have to arrest about 200 D.C. students for going through the, what do you call it, chief?
Emergency gate.
The emergency gate. And I want to commend you the way you handled it, because they are young people who I think were a little surprised that the chief was there with your
they were.
Office. I was accused of being an undercover police. I know, I had a trench coat on, so that's what the kids thought I was, working for the police department.
But you look like Inspector Hill.
I was going to say, you look more like a suspect than me.
Pretty much, Tony. You got it.
Well, we've added a little levity at the end, but our subject matter today was very important, very vital, both safety as well as security in light of the terrorist attack. And I thank you both for your reports. If there's no other business before the committee, adjourn the committee until the December meeting. Thank you.
What's next?
I'm sorry?
Which? Yeah, we got a little break.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, do you want to announce what are the next steps this morning?
Chairman Goldman,
next meeting.
Next event will be the board meeting next door at 11.
At 11 o'clock in the boardroom. Thank you.